on the Cyclone Sports Network. From Learfield, it's time for the Renewable Energy Group Cyclone Coaches Corner, powered by Renewable Energy Group. Also brought to you by Bud Light Seltzer. It's unquestionably good. Hy-Vee, the official tailgate headquarters of Cyclone Football. And by Rob Seco, an independent seed company, bringing you the product choices you deserve from the people you can trust. It's time for the Cyclone Coaches Corner. Here's the voice of the Cyclones, John Walters.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Cyclone Coaches Corner, fueled by Renewable Energy Group. Fueling your game for a cleaner tomorrow makes you a winner today. And Matt Campbell is joining us. We have our guest co-host tonight, Jack Whitfer. And, Coach, obviously the game didn't go the way you wanted. As you watched the replay of it again, did you see some things that concerned you and some things that maybe jumped out that were real positives in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think the positive piece of it was the ability of our kids to stay the course till the end of the football game. And, you know, I think from my standpoint, there's some things in the fourth quarter that you're really, really proud of what our kids' mental makeup is. And really, it's the expectation, and it's kind of been the blueprint and standard of our program. The frustration piece of things is, you know, there's a lot of ways that Iowa State beat Iowa State on Saturday. And I think that's frustrating, especially in terms of, you know, the precision and execution that, you know, I think we've diligently put the time and effort into getting our standard of excellence to where it needs to be. And that not showing up in some big moments, I think those things are frustrating. And so, again, I know I said this on Saturday, those are areas when you go back as the head football coach and you say, man, we've got to continue to do things in a better way, because obviously we're not where we need to be in terms of that aspect of things. Attitude, effort, fight, toughness. Yeah, those things showed up remarkably on the videotape. But at the end of the day, you know, it is about finishing things and it's about winning the football game. And those are the precision and detail didn't allow us to do those things.
This defense has been so impressive for years now. And I think one of the positives I would think that came out of this game is a lot of times your defense, when you get that many turnovers on offense, they can start to get frustrated and fall apart. But it seems like that group just stuck with it the entire game.
Yeah, and you know, I think, Jack, the thing that we're so fortunate, especially on the defensive side, is the senior leadership that we have on that side of the football. And you're talking about, you know, you got Eisworth in the back end, and then all three of those linebackers, and then you talk about Zach Peterson, you talk about Annie, man, there's so many guys that have sat in those positions, have kind of been the foundation of excellence there. And those guys have done a phenomenal job. And really, they kept us in the football game really until the clock struck zero. You know, we had chances even at the end of the game. You make that field goal, you have another shot at an onside kick, and next thing you know, man, you're tying the football game. So, you know, a lot of credit to those kids. Their mental makeup is why I feel really confident about where our football team is and where it's going to continue to go. And yet some of the precision and detail piece of it, and that's global still. You know, there's still some things defensively that we got to be better at. There's obviously some things that showed up on special teams. And then, you know, the offensive precision and detail, it's really what's hindering it from exploding is, you know, the precision and detail piece of things. And so those are all things that, man, we got to go back. I have to go back, and we got to make sure we have a great plan moving forward.
You mentioned Zach Peterson. What a great story. Kid from right here in Iowa. His dad was a great player in the Big 8 for Iowa State. And Zach is such a likable kid. He's such an all-business type guy, but he does have a fun sense of humor about him. And at the same time, you don't always see it on the surface. Yeah. But, I mean, what a special kid who plays with every ounce of energy he has on every play.
Boy, I mean, he's been a pillar for us, you know, and I think back to 2 years ago at Oklahoma and the play he makes against CeeDee Lamb and causes the fumble that kind of generates us right back in the football game. Just to me, Zach is one of those guys, whatever it takes, whatever he has to do, whether it's running down on kickoff, whether it's on our punt team, or whether it's, man, being where he needs to be on the defensive front, he's done a phenomenal job, and we're really proud of him.
You talk about his fumble he forced at Oklahoma, and that's one thing this defense has done really well historically. You know, you can look back at the bowl game, and turnovers really made the difference there. hasn't happened yet this year. And is that something that you can work to improve, or is that just the way the ball bounces sometimes? Or
yeah, that's a great question. And I just think for us we're close. And you know, you say, what did the game come down to Saturday? Well, they made the plays and we didn't make the plays. And when you talk about that, it's the play on the ball, you know, and you know, the Brock's first throw is a 50-50 ball. They make the play. The same play happens for them down in the end zone on the first touchdown. It's a post. It's a 50-50 ball. Their kid makes the play in the end zone. You know, the one interception's a tip ball and they make the play on it. And the other one's a drop ball and they make the play on it. And so to me, those are areas where, again, it comes back to the detail and precision of making those plays. And so I think you definitely focus on those things. You definitely put the focus, which has been there all fall camp, but I think the emphasis continues to ride on, man, it still is a sport that's all about the ball. And it always has been. It always will be. I think it's stressed a lot in our program, and one of those things that I think you continue to pound away at.
And history tells us that you and the staff and these kids are pretty good at figuring things out as you go. And obviously, there's going to be a lot of work involved in that. You don't just snap your fingers and say, okay, it's the third game of the year, so now we're going to start playing great. There's got to be a process to it, but history tells us you can do it.
Well, I think the thing that tells you is the fight of our kids. And yeah, you don't question in the first two football games attitude, effort, commitment. You don't finish. None of those things are a question mark. If those things were a question mark, then I'd probably be really nervous about where our football team is and where we're at. I think the other things are areas where there's a reason. We got to figure out the reason, and then we got to do a great job of fixing it. And when you have great kids that are committed to a standard of excellence, then I think you're really, really, you're a hair away from getting it swung the other way. And it'll be a great challenge again this week to be able to do that on the road.
We're going to come back with more of the Cyclone Coaches Corner, fueled by Renewable Energy Group, after these messages on the Cyclone Network from Learfield.
You can expand your farming operation by thousands of acres without renting or buying new ground. Sound too good to be true? I'm Shannon Latham. If you love to grow and enjoy seeing others succeed too, you might be made for family-owned Latham High-Tech Seeds. You'll not only be working more acres, you'll be representing one of the broadest, most diverse seed portfolios in the industry, bred to perform best in the specific geographic region we serve. It's all true and all good. And if that sounds good to you, let's talk business at 877-GO-LATHAM.
You work for results. That's why the Enlist Weed Control System gives you flexible tank mixing, near zero volatility, a wide application window, and proven weed control. Because the Enlist system was built for your results. Get better weed control with no ifs, ands, or buts at Enlist.com. Enlist.com.
You trained for this all year. Endless hours of cardio, conditioning, and weights. And now you are ready. Ready to trek back to your seat from the concession stand. Through the lines, lost fans, and that mascot who wants you to do a little dancey dance. All without spilling a drop of your ice cold Bud Light. Welcome back to football, sports fans.
The Coalition to Support Iowa's Farmers, working beside you.
Hi, this is Coach Matt Campbell. I know that it takes a solid team to create success on the field, and the same is true for your livestock farm. The Coalition to Support Iowa's Farmers can work beside you to develop a winning strategy. So add Coalition to your lineup by calling 1-800-932-2436 or visit supportfarmers.com and get your team started today.
The Coalition to Support Iowa's Farmers, your farm, your family. Our focus.
At Golden Harvest, our best skill is knowing how to listen. From our Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to our expert insights housed in the Illuminate digital agronomy platform, everything we offer is an answer to what we've heard from you. This is how we listen.
Copyright 2021 Syngenta. The trademarks or service marks used herein are the property of a Syngenta Group company. All other trademarks are the property of their respective owners.
Playing as a team like the Iowa State University football team, the 900 employees of Renewable Energy Group, based in Ames, Iowa, play as a team with a focus on safety, integrity, humanity, and driving results. Renewable Energy Group was voted by the Des Moines Register as one of the top places to work in Iowa, and we're proud of our history of reducing emissions, creating jobs, and fueling communities.
Welcome back to the Cyclone Coaches Corner, fueled by Renewable Energy Group. Renewable Energy Group, reducing emissions, creating jobs, fueling communities. We're excited about our partnership with REG this year as they're hosting our show. And if you're watching it on Facebook Live on the Iowa State Athletics page, you can see their logo over our shoulder. And we're visiting with Matt Campbell. We've got Jack Whitford as our guest co-host tonight. And Coach, obviously Brock didn't have his best game, and everybody's talked about that a lot since the game. But we have seen a history, just like we just talked about your team, the track record tells us. We've seen Brock bounce back so many times and come back strong with his faith in himself and in God and everything else. He's just, he's one of those kids that is built to bounce back. And I guess the other part I think I'd say is, if Clayton Kershaw is a Hall of Fame pitcher, but he doesn't have it every time he takes them out. And there's times where the manager goes out and gets him and says, hey, it wasn't your day. It doesn't happen often,
right?
But it does happen.
Yeah, and I think the thing that people have to remember, and it's when you're the coach and you can watch the videotape, and here's what's hard about playing quarterback. It's still a team sport, right? And there's 11 guys in football. The other 10 guys have to do their job. And the thing that is crazy about, you know, one guy taking the bulk of the heat is, you know, number one, two of the interceptions. One is literally a tip ball that goes right in the hands of a defender, thrown to the right person, ball's tipped. The other one is a drop pass that lands in the lap of the defender. And, you know, you instantly want to point the finger, but I think it's really hard in our sport. And that's why you have to be a really tough hombre to play quarterback. You know, in baseball, it is one person, and you're either good or you're bad. But as the quarterback, you need the other 10 guys to be doing their job. You need the other 10 guys to, you know, playing their role and their part. You know, the quarterback didn't drop the ball or fumble the football on Saturday, right? The quarterback really was doing his job in the majority of what happened. And so, you know, I think from my end of it, obviously I'm always going to stick up for Brock because of not just what he is and who he is and how he prepares to do what he does, but boy, it wasn't him that put us in some of those situations. And, you know, I think, you know, the execution piece of it, a lot of those things are from the people around him that need to be better on top of Brock continuing to hold himself to a high level of excellence. And I think he does. But when you talk, I just think about the whole 8 quarters we've played offensively. Boy, to put it all on one person's a huge mistake right now. And, you know, I think all those other parts need to do their job and be able to show the consistency so the quarterback can play the type of game that he's able to play.
Yeah, I was going to dive in that a little bit down the trenches, and obviously a lot of guys back. From what I think you've said, one of your best offensive lines that you think you'll have here. And people are like, well, why can't they run the ball? Well, Brees averaged over 4.5 yards a carry. What do you see now that O-line? And is it what you thought they're going to be, or just where are we at with the offensive line?
Boy,
right now?
I'd say the same thing. You know, I mean, you watch that videotape, and that offensive line played pretty good again Saturday. You know, there are not a lot of people touching the quarterback, around the quarterback. I think the one sack that came up was a protection error, not a protection breakdown in terms of people. You know, when you look at the running game, you know, and you get down, so all of a sudden the methodology changes within the football game in a certain way, shape, and form. And you know, you're in a couple 2-minute situations at the end of the half and at the end of the football game that's a little bit different. But there's a lot of areas I still think that group has, if you say what's been the most consistent group so far this season, it's been the offensive line. You know, their protection, you know, the run game continuing to hammer those things out. But again, I wouldn't put the maybe the inefficiency of the running game compared to what it was early or late last football season. I certainly wouldn't put that all on the offensive line shoulders. I think that's a global piece right now where, you know, again, whether it's the right read, the right track, the right, you know, blocking scheme on the perimeter, some of those things are probably a bigger issue than maybe what that offensive line has done so far. I think that group is really starting to progress real well right now.
Cyclone fans, stop by Size Locker Room to gear up for game day. Size Locker Room is the official store of Iowa State Athletics. And we mentioned that you did go to Hunter Deckers in the game. And Hunter's a guy that I know you guys are really excited about. And I know Brock's really excited about. And he's been a great mentor for Hunter. And he told me at Media Day he's excited about doing for Hunter what Kyle Kemp did for him, yes. You know, but it was good to see Hunter get out there and do well when he got his opportunity.
Well, you know, and again, I think from a Hunter Decker standpoint, you know, there's an elite sense of confidence within our walls of who Hunter is, what he has the ability to do, and what his future looks like. And again, the character of our kids is Hunter Deckers goes into the game. Brock Purdy certainly is the first guy there to make sure he knows what's going on. He's the guy that's helping guide him through the fourth quarter of the football game. And I think that's character. And that's really what our program's been about. To me, that means as much as anything else is watching the character of who our guys are and tough and situations. And you know, for Hunter to go into the game, I thought how he handled things and what he did was outstanding, and quite honestly, I think there was, you know, a spark when he went into the football game, and that was a huge positive.
Yeah, as far as young guys, Hunter had the spotlight on him this week, but you know, now I think a lot of your recruiting is starting to show up.
Yeah.
And the young guys that are now just stepping in to where there's not a very big gap between some of those first string and second string guys. So I mean, you obviously saw some of them in the spring and all of them in the fall. Like, who's now on game day actually showing up and producing? Well, of those young guys,
man, I mean, you saw Eli Sanders in the fourth quarter of the game. I think there was, again, you talk about a spark. I mean, there was a spark that Eli brought to the game, and you know what he can do is really special. Bo Freiler, you know, played meaningful snaps at safety, starting on our kickoff team, starting on our punt block team, starting on our punt team as a true freshman. Really impressive freshman football player for us. And so, you know, there's some guys right now that are, man, they're challenged. And Miles Purchase is starting on two special teams, a freshman corner for us. And, you know, Deion Silas had a really impressive fall camp, got dinged up right at the end of fall camp, but's coming back. And so, you know, I think there's some guys, Jalen Noel, we continue to see make plays, made some big plays in the fourth quarter of the game. I think that part's exciting. And to be honest with you, it's the one thing, Jack, we haven't had is, man, competition. And, you know, boy, if you're not going to do it right, if you can't do it right, then you know what? There's some guys that are hungry to do it right. And I think that's the positive thing about where our program's at right now. Again, I always say this, the players that we trust will be the ones that get on the field and that we play. And trust is earned, and trust is a value that is really earned daily, you know, and it's a value that's lived in the present tense, not in the past tense.
It's always great to have depth at running back, and we saw Jairell Brock have an excellent run, a couple good plays in the game, and as you mentioned, Eli Sanders really looked sharp. Tell us a little bit more about Eli, as how he came into the program, how, you know, what caught your eye with Eli when he was in high school.
Yeah, you know, Eli from, you know, one of the elite high school football programs down in Arizona. You know, we really tracked him from the end of his junior year to the early part of his senior year last year. A team that won a state championship, back-to-back state championships. And, you know, I think the thing for Eli that is really impressive, there were some early videotape that he kind of reminded me of Chuba Hubbard from Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. You know, an elite sprinter, a guy that has the ability to get out in space, and he's also strong. He can have those strong, powerful runs. And as we watched his senior year, I thought it was like, whoa, this guy maybe has some of those, truly those traits. And so we really jumped in hard in the recruiting game. He was the last commit that came to us, and we worked really hard to try to finish on Eli. Eli's got a great family, great mom and dad. And, you know, again, I think the thing about Eli, you know, maybe was second or third in the state of Arizona, I think at 10-7-100, you know, in terms of the track and field this year. So he's a guy that can really, really run, but he's not a guy that can really, really – he's not a track guy that playing football. He's a football guy that can really run. And, yeah, you know, I think that's something that was most impressive about who Eli is.
And we really saw that speed on a few plays on Saturday.
Yeah, he gives us a dynamic of, you know, some of the things that a guy like Kane and some of those people have brought to our team. And, again, I think some of our emphasis in this past recruiting class is how can we run better? How can we – you can run better by getting faster guys, you know, and Eli, Jalen Knoll, some of those guys who can really flat run. You know, it's really great to have some of that speed and give our offense even some more different dynamics.
We'll come back with more of the Cyclone Coaches Corner, fueled by Renewable Energy Group, after these messages on the Cyclone Network from Learfield.
Tournament Club of Iowa, designed by golf legend Arnold Palmer. TCI is his only signature course in the state. TCI is a public course that offers a challenging yet enticing experience for golfers of all levels and is now managed by Kaler Golf. Cap off your round with breathtaking views and a delicious meal at the Copper Oak Restaurant. Looking for a unique setting for your wedding, party, or outing? Look no further than TCI. Visit tcofiowa.com to book your tee time today.
Becoming America's best-selling brand means you never settle. Like the Ford F-150, completely rebuilt from the ground up to be smarter and tougher than ever. Or the Ford Bronco Sport, with a legacy that can't be broken. The entire Bronco family is designed, engineered, and built for adventure. Plus, Ford's complete lineup of SUVs gives you the power, style, and space you need for life on the go. Go to buyfordnow.com or contact your local Northland Ford dealer for exclusive offers on the perfect Ford for you. Sales claim based on calendar year sales.
Your premier Chevy dealers, proud sponsors of Iowa State Cyclone football, and proud to be a part of Team Chevy, the number one selling brand in Iowa for the past 10 years. Thanks to a talented lineup that includes versatile SUVs like Equinox and dependable trucks like Silverado. Visit moreiowansdrivechevy.com today to find exciting offers and a dealer near you. Based on IHS Market CYE 2010 to 2020, new vehicle retail registrations in the state of Iowa.
At MidAmerican Energy, we harvest the wind to provide you with clean, affordable energy. But did you know our commitment to wind energy also creates jobs and generates millions in local revenue? That's money your community can use to fix roads, support first responders, and improve schools. MidAmerican Energy's commitment to renewable energy delivers positive results for our state. And it's one more way we're obsessively, relentlessly at your service.
The name on the mailbox may say Smith, Myers, Baumgartner, or Johnson, but when you choose to plant with Rob Seco, it includes your name too, making you a stockholder in a company that's invested in you. With the simplicity that makes us easy to do business with, relationships that bring more to the table, the technology, traits, and genetics that take on local conditions, and people with the know-how to use it. At Rob Seco, the only stockholder we listen to is you.
Does it really matter where beef comes from? Meet the facts. Fact. Hy-Vee Choice Reserve beef comes from the Midwest, so you get only the highest quality beef raised on family farms here in the heartland. Where do the other guys get their beef? We're not sure either. Get the facts at meetthefacts.hy-vee.com.
Welcome back to the Cyclone Coaches Corner, fueled by Renewable Energy Group. Renewable Energy Group at Iowa State University, playing for a cleaner, more sustainable community together. Jack Whitford is our guest co-host tonight. We're visiting with Matt Campbell, and each of you guys could probably talk a little bit about this, but I think it might be good for this team right now to go on a road trip. Sometimes I've seen it before where those guys get on that plane and, you know, it just kind of brings them together, and then you go do something special, and you come back home, and you feel good about yourself.
It seemed like when I was playing it, it just sometimes it feels like just the right time to take a road trip where you just need to get the distractions out and, you know, just go together. And it's only the travel squad, obviously, so it's the guys that are going to play, and it just seems like there's a different focus, or at least when I play, there's a different focus sometimes on those road games. And to get out outside of campus sometimes is very helpful.
Yeah, and I think you're so right, Jay. I just think from our kids, the ability to Zoom focus and, you know, really come together and, you know, figure out where we're going to take this thing. You know, what are you going to do? What do you want to be about? When, you know, how do you respond to really tough and trying times? And, you know, I'd say this. I've always hired a staff that I always wanted to, that I knew we could lose with. And I've always tried to recruit players first and foremost, not who can you win with, who can you lose with, because you know adversity is coming. Our sport is one of those that it's the greatest sport because it's a game of imperfections, and that's the beauty of it, right? And it's, can you within the game respond to adversity, and then after the game, positive or negative, can you respond to adversity? And to me, that's the one thing that, man, you hate losing, you hate losing a rival game, you hate all those things, but the one thing that you wake up Sunday morning, you say, man, I can't wait to get to the office, and we're going to find out who we are and what we're about, and you know, we're going to find out the character of this team, and to be able to go on the road and in a tougher environment and a tougher setting than being at home, then I think those things are hugely positive. And so, you know, a great challenge for our team, and I really look forward to it. I look forward to tomorrow's practice and kind of see what the response is and who's leading the way.
And it'll be an interesting road trip as well, because it's not your typical, yep. You're not going into Norman, Oklahoma. You're going into a stadium that's probably going to be half full of Cyclone fans, almost more like a bowl atmosphere. But, you know, I think it will be a great chance for this team to focus and look forward to seeing what they can do when they're in a different setting and get these guys a chance to bounce back, because you know, that's always tough. You know, what some of the guys went through last week is really, really tough to bounce back from, but I know they can do it, and I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, and what a great opportunity, you know, play in a great stadium, play against what I would say is a very up-and-coming opponent, really talented guys on this roster. This young quarterback is a great threat and a great challenge, and so, you know, for us, it's going to be a great opportunity for us to test our will and test the character of this football team. Who are we? What are we about? And what do we stand for?
We need to pause here for 10 seconds to allow our stations to identify themselves. This is the Cyclone Network from Learfield. The Coalition to Support Iowa's Farmers is proud to sponsor Cyclone Athletics, helping farmers interpret rules and regulations, find sites for new barns, exceed environmental rules, and enhance neighbor relations, all at no charge. Visit supportfarmers.com to find out more. The Coalition to Support Iowa's Farmers, your farm, your family, their focus. And the last three games away from Jack Trice Stadium for your guys have been in NFL stadiums, which is pretty amazing experience for the guys. I mean, when you think about going out to Jerry World and then the Fiesta Bowl, obviously in Glendale, and now to the Raiders Stadium. Really, really cool experience for the guys.
No question. And great stadiums, great venues. And, you know, I think just as a player and certainly as a coach, there's this great sense of appreciation for being in those environments. And so I think our kids are excited, and certainly what an opportunity, like you said, to be able to play in that kind of environment.
We haven't talked about special teams yet, and one of the things that I thought was tremendous was the kickoff this last week, and not giving them a chance to get the returns I thought was huge. And so what are you seeing on your special teams right now?
Yeah, well, if I'll be honest, the difference in the football game really was special teams. You know, there's some things we're doing really well. I'm really excited about Andrew Mevis. I think as a kicker in general, he gives us a weapon that we haven't had. From the kickoff standpoint, from the field goal standpoint, you know, even in terms of, you know, what he's got the ability to do, we're really excited about that. You know, we didn't get much opportunity in the kickoff return game. I'm excited about that unit in twofold. Number one, 10 of the 11 guys are back on that unit from a year ago. We just haven't had the opportunities yet to showcase what that group looks like and is. You know, the punt piece of it, I would say very similar. Man, there were some great plays by Corey Dunn. Three of the six punts were, man, game-changing. You know, we regained momentum. We pinned him inside the 10. You know, we got a 56-yard punt. We cover and make great plays. And then, you know, two of them are paralyzing. You know, we're punting the ball to a good returner in the middle of the field, and bad things are going to happen, and we didn't do a great job. And so, you know, the consistency of that unit, I think what I'm excited about is we have a weapon. Now we got to get the consistency of that weapon to be its best when we need it to be its best. So I think there's a general, you know, excitement about what we could be or can be on that punt unit. And then the punt return game, you know, I mean, that's probably the greatest disappointment. I thought that was literally the game-changing moment when you go back. You know, we're 14-10. We punt the ball inside inside the 10-yard line, we get a three and out, and we've got the opportunity. Not only do we got the opportunity to catch the ball on the 50-yard line, but if you look at the videotape, we've got a wall into the boundary set up, and it's got a chance to be a big hitter. And we're not able to catch the football. And so, you know, I think that's something that's certainly disappointing. I think that was a huge moment in the game that really shifted. You know, I would say the same thing from the offensive standpoint. You know, if you said who's the MVP of the game, I'd say Iowa's punter. I'd say the reality of in the first half, there's four of your first five possessions are inside the 10-yard line. So whatever game plan you thought you had just went out the window,
exactly.
Right? And now you're making sure, hey, let's get a first down. Let's try to get the field position back for our defense rather than, man, here's the game plan we got and we want to go execute it. And so to me, I think those were – and that play was paralyzing because it put you back now on the 18-yard line rather than either the ball in the 50 or the opportunity. So, you know, I think it's a great point, Jack. I think it's an area for us where I would say we are better than we've ever been, but yet again, you can't have those moments. If we can erase some of those inches and put those inches back into our favor, then I think we got a chance to be really dynamic on special teams, maybe as good as we've ever been since I've been here. So those are things that I'm excited about, and I really feel confident that we can get corrected and get the right people where they need to be to give us the best advantage.
It is hard to remember a game where you had such poor field position over and over and over again. And I imagine it takes the playbook and condenses it a lot. And I think back to the one time you did have, you know, pretty good field position was the end of the half, and you went on a real nice drive and got points before halftime.
Well, you look at, in all honesty, you look at the first half of the game, the two times we get field position, and those are the two scoring drives. Every other drive in the first half and really two in the third quarter are starting inside your 10-yard line. That was a challenge. And now equal to that, you got to come out of that. You got to be able to, good offenses have the ability to execute their way out of those things. And we didn't do that with enough consistency. You had two turnovers that end up being, you know, painful and really game changing. But, you know, those are things where, you know, you tip your hat to their punter, did a great job of giving them a, you know, really great field position, putting them in a great situation to be successful.
Yes, fans, so much goes into that Iowa State game. And it's, you know, it's such a, the buildup is huge and obviously bigger with game day here. And sometimes as fans, it's really hard to get over that game, but you don't have time for that. I mean, it's time to turn it around, right? And feel good about your guys getting it turned around and ready to play again.
Well, again, that's our sport, right? You know, you got to have the ability to, you know, you got to have the ability to be mentally tough. And, you know, it's gut-wrenching, it's challenging to lose any game, and especially a rivalry game and a game that's got a lot on the line in terms of, you know, in terms of pride for the state and your community and all those kind of things. But the reality is, we're still defined by who we are at the end of the season. Like, that still tells the story. And the great thing about football, man, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And you have to have the ability to stay the course. And you could have won the game, and you win the game, you got the same challenges is, man, can you mentally stay the course off of that game? And so our sport's funny, and it's so much more of a mental game than anybody would ever know. And you're right, Jack. I mean, the ability to learn, be willing to grow from it, have enough humility as coaches and players to say what we did right and what we didn't wrong, and then, man, okay, pour into the next week. And that is one thing we've been able to do a really good job of in our past, and we're going to see if we can do that right now in our future.
It's been just a short period of time since the game ended, but, I mean, you saw the guys in the locker room right after. You've seen them in the football building today. You know, you're seeing a little bounce in their step that you feel like, hey, these guys are resilient. They're going to be fine.
Yeah, I would say having a very veteran team, yesterday was tough. And you know, and when you care so much and you're highly invested, like I really believe our kids are, that's tough. That's gut-wrenching. And, you know, seeing them a little bit today, you can see, I think there's a slow move out of where they were on the Saturday and Sunday to where they're trying to get to. And I think tomorrow's Tuesday's practice will be a great tell of, you know, where are we and where's our focus. And again, you better practice really well on Tuesday, because if you don't, you're not going to play well on Saturday. And, you know, it's one of those great challenges. So it's going to be exciting to see what tomorrow's practice looks like.
So have you had a lot of time to look at UNLV yet? And what do we expect to see out of them? And I would guess this is one of those games where And maybe all your games like that, you're not worried about the opponent as much as if you execute your stuff, that's what you need to do to win the game. But what do you see out of UNLV so far?
Well, I see a highly talented football team. You know, last year was really tough because a new coaching staff comes in there. It's a COVID year. They don't know if they're going to play. They play a couple games. And so it's really hard to have a great tell. And I'm sure frustrating even from their staff's end that they don't get the opportunity to play a lot of football last year in their first year coaching. But I think what the thing that's been so impressive about the videotape is the growth they've made from the end of last season to where they are even into game two of their football season. And so, you know, I think you're seeing a team, they were right in the game against Arizona State all the way till the end and, you know, made some huge plays, very opportunistic on defense. They're athletic, they're long, they have the ability to create pressure. And then on the flip side, offensively, an elite talent quarterback is what I would say, and a guy that's got all the tools in terms of arm strength, ability. He's a young football player, but boy, does he have a chance to be really special. Jumps off the video. So a great challenge again for us. And you know, I think the other part you said, Jack, do we got to get better? Man, you do. It's week two, and our recipe for success has been our ability to grow and get better through the football season. Does that happen? Can we do it? Do we've got the mental fortitude to continue to do those things? Those are choices that we get a chance to make right now.
Against Eastern Washington, they struggled moving the football, and then they brought Broomfield in. He was great. He threw a deep ball right away that was right on target. He runs really well. He did get hurt against Arizona State. We'll see what his status is. But, man, I agree with you on his athleticism. Cool. And those guys that are 6'4 and can do everything athletically are scary at that position because they can make a big play at any time.
Yeah, you know, we've seen to get the luck of the draw early on in the season, you know, with athletic quarterbacks that can move around and make things happen. But, you know, I think from our end of things, it'll only continue to prepare us for what we're going to see in conference. And, you know, again, I think a really big challenge for us in terms of how do you navigate that? How do you put yourself in position to have success against what I've seen is an elite talent quarterback.
Let's talk a little about the Big 12 because it's just around the corner, and this is your last chance to get ready for Big 12 conference play. And you know, coming off a year when you went 8-1, and we're all alone atop the standings, and a lot of those same guys back in those Cyclone uniforms. So exciting to think that, man, the really big football games are coming, and they're coming real soon.
Yeah, exciting to see it, and yet I think also the urgency to say, man, what we've seen, there's a lot of really good, yet there's some things that are causing us to not be at peak performance, and the urgency to get to peak performance, I think, is felt all around our football program right now, and if you don't feel it, then you're wrong.
I think one of the great things as for being a Cyclone right now is the attention and, you know, the eyes on Iowa State. But one of the difficult things for you and the team is you're hunted every week now. I mean, you're not sneaking up on anybody. And so is there a different mindset that goes into that? Or I mean, to me, there was a lot of years where we could sneak up and just beat somebody because sure, maybe they weren't ready. But you're not seeing that. You're getting everybody's best shot every week now.
No, you are. And in all honesty, Jack, I think, you know, I would say that I feel like that's kind of been the case since you know, the end of 18, you know. And you know, I think you go into that 19 season, you're getting everybody's best shot, and we did. And I think, last year, you're getting everybody's best shot. And there's no question with, you know, the preseason hype around Iowa State football, you're going to get everybody's best shot. But if you're worried about you and you're your best and you've got the ability to be your best consistently day in and day out, then you're not worried about everybody's best shot because all you're worried about is you being the best you can be. And so, you know, I think that's what our mindset has been in the offseason. You know, have we been that so far? No, but I'm excited to see if we can get there because I think if we can get there, you're going to see a really good football team here at some point.
Matt, we'll let you go with this. Nicholas Bassett is a young man who was featured on game day, who had both his legs amputated recently. Incredibly positive attitude about everything. And you've invited him to do practices. You've had him even speak to your team. Tell me a little bit about the impact that Nicholas has made on your life.
Yeah, you know, I think for me, and it's been interesting because when I first got here, the first spirit walk, I remember getting a chance to shake his hand on the way in. And, you know, as I've been here now over going into my sixth year, you know, heard Nicholas's story. And then, you know, this summer or this spring when he has to get surgery. And I heard about it, and I called him before the surgery because I just knew, man, you know, just even what he's been prior to the surgery has been this incredible sense of loyalty and, to be honest with you, courage. And, you know, I knew the challenge he was embarking into. And, you know, I think the thing for me is courage is always defined two ways. It's defined mentally and physically. And, you know, what Nicholas is really the definition of the word courage. He's physically what he's been through and what he's had to go through, not just with this surgery, but really over the course of his life, and his ability to have such a positive mindset and really physically have the ability to adapt is really impressive. And then I think the second piece of it is the mental makeup, the ability to have such a positive spirit. And that's what's so impressive about Nicholas is, man, you lose a tough game, that's tough. Man, you go through hard, and I think that puts perspective in terms of, you know, the real world is like, man, there's really hard things out there in life, and who you are through those is defined what you're about. And I think Nicholas's spirit, I think his mental makeup, what he's about, what he's done, the loyalty he's shown our program, man, he's defining courage to me, and to have somebody like that in my life and have him around our program, I think it's huge.
Awesome. He's a great Cyclone. Matt, thank you for taking the time. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right.
Guys.
Good luck this weekend. And we're going to come back. We're going to visit with Jamie Pollard in just a bit. We're coming back with more of the Cyclone Coaches Corner, fueled by Renewable Energy Group, after these messages on the Cyclone Network from Learfield.
When did business insurance become one size fits all? At EMC Insurance Companies, we've known for more than 100 years that businesses have unique needs. It's why from coast to coast, we provide insurance packages that are designed and tailored specifically for nearly 500 different types of businesses. Add our expert loss control and quick claim services, and you can see why customers count on EMC to help protect what they've built. Find an EMC agent near you at emcins.com.
Wherever people work, live, or play, there is a plumber and steam fitter who made it possible. In today's business climate, you need partners you can trust. Partners that care about your company and your customers. Partners like the plumbers and steam fitters, Local Union 33. Local Union 33 finds the right people, trains them exceptionally well, and supplies a qualified workforce, whether you need general or specialized skills. For more information, log on to ualocal33.org.
Anything can happen when the Cyclones and Hawkeyes come to compete. It's where the rubber meets the road. Neighbors become rivals and friends become foes. Some go home brokenhearted, while others are victorious. When the dust finally settles, one thing stands true. No matter which side you're on, you're part of tradition for those who are Iowan through and through. We're Iowa Corn, a proud sponsor of the Iowa Corn Cyhawk Series. In Iowa, we grow corn, but the truth is, corn grows Iowa.
Everyone knows the keys to victory are a winning strategy and execution. And when it comes to crop farming, the most proven strategy for success is to store now, profit later. And the most proven way to execute this plan is with Sukup Manufacturing. Drying and storing your grain in Sukup dryers and bins is the best way to take charge of your grain, maximize your profits, and control your destiny. And with early season discounts underway, now is the time to start planning for next harvest. Visit sukup.com to find your local Sukup dealer today and learn how we can help you store now, profit later.
You don't just want more options. You demand them. Options that give you more dead weeds. Options from an integrated system. With Enlist Crops, you get what you need without sacrifice. Get better weed control with no ifs, ands, or buts at Enlist.com. Enlist.com.
Iowa State University is living Cardinal Gold and Green. The cooking oil that is used at Jack Trice Stadium and the dining halls throughout the campus is recycled at Renewable Energy Group's biorefineries in Newton and Mason City, Iowa, to produce renewable fuel. Iowa State University uses the renewable fuel on campus to power their vehicles and equipment. Together, we're creating a cleaner, more sustainable campus.
Welcome back to the Cyclone Coaches Corner from Iowa Farm Fields to Jack Trice Stadium, Renewable Energy Group has a play in supporting agriculture and creating a cleaner, more sustainable environment. Our thanks to Matt Campbell. He joined us in the first portion of the program tonight, and now we're joined by Jamie Pollard, and Jack Whitfer is our guest co-host tonight. And wanted to mention this before we get started. Just on a load to Janie Schaefer. She's an Iowa State grad, a passionate Cyclone fan. She was unable to make it to the game over the weekend. She had a ticket. She wasn't able to go. She'd been hospitalized, and we just want to wish Janie a speedy recovery. We appreciate you, Janie. Thank you for being a great Cyclone. And it was great to see the place sold out, Jamie, again, and not a surprise at all. But, you know, the season record for average attendance is just shy of 60,000, and you're already got two sellouts in the book with four more home dates. And it's exciting to think where that number could be at the end of this season.
Absolutely. I saw the ticket count going into Friday for the remaining four games. And, you know, I think KU is like at 58.8 and Oklahoma State's at 60,000 plus. And so we're setting up, I think, the who's helped me with the Texas game. I didn't mean that. I just really I couldn't think what the game was. I think that's 60,000 plus.
Sure.
And then the game on in all fairness, hey, you know me. I'll throw it when I
do.
Yeah,
I do.
I don't need any help there. That actually was just natural.
Yeah.
And then the TCU game I think is sitting at like 56 or 57 right now. So, yes, the answer to your question is that would be really neat if we could run off some sellouts down the stretch here.
Well, of course that game's going to sell out. It always does. Iowa State, but the thing that is so different is there were not that many Hawkeye fans here. You know, there were a lot of years where, you know, I don't know, a 10th or 20% of the stadium were Hawkeye fans, and it's just that is getting lower and lower, and that makes a huge difference as a player.
I mean, I can't speak to it from a player personally, but when you're on the field, yes,
you're
right.
Tell the difference.
It was really, really electric on Saturday, and but, you know, it's been like that for the last couple of years in the stadium. I mean, our fans are phenomenal, and we're putting a little more of them in there now. But they've always been great fans that create great energy, and it's been fun.
Anytime you have a long game experience like that, because you had game day here, you opened the lots at 6, there's a lot that can go wrong. The longer the day goes, the more that things can go wrong. How did the day go from an operation standpoint and pulling off all that you had to do? Because that's a big deal when you get game day here.
No, I think by and large it went really well. There were a couple of areas we needed to clean up from the first game. You know, starting to sound like a football coach here. You know,
and, yeah. And certainly watch the film.
The entry on the north, we did watch film. You know, and everybody was in the stadium by like I think 14:27 before kick.
Yeah.
So everybody was in where the first game it was right up to the kick. So that part went really well. I think the parking issues we had. You know, they're not perfect yet, but they were far better. You know, clearly the heat caused some issues with, you know, just water and keeping people cool and a long, long day because people were partying from early on. And so those are some challenges that we still are working our way through. And a lot more people in the stadium when you're trying to move about and try to take care of things. We had, you know, some trash issues, and part of it was just, you know, we're short on manpower.
Yep.
And two, it's so many people, you just can't get to things quickly.
Well, it's more than 61.5.
Absolutely.
In the lots.
Yes.
I mean, it's more like 91.5, I'd say.
Right. There were a lot of people on Saturday. You know, the stadium was full. I don't know where you could have put any more people, and there was still a lot of people on the parking lots.
Yeah. Yeah, and as you look at the stadium, you know, as someone that I've been coming to games here literally since I was born, and, you know, in 1995, Coach Mack comes in and has this vision. He's going to change Iowa State, right? And, you know, John and I were talking before the game. There were games where there was literally a hot tub in that end zone, and people were watching the game from that. And but they started this vision of, you know, a building here and the end zone and the practice fields and the indoor. And, you know, with the opening of this new building that I'm sure we'll get to at some point, in the Albaugh Plaza, tear down the Olsen Building. It's almost like this vision that you all have had for 30 years. You know, you, what, 17 or 18 now here. It's almost like it's coming full circle, and it's probably, you're never going to stop, but we have to be up there with about anyone in the country as far as facilities right now.
Well, the thing that's really neat about our improvements to the stadium is if you just landed here and never had been here, you'd probably have a hard time being able to figure out what we did. You know, we talked about this last week. It's not an erector set.
Good point, yeah.
It's really been architecturally designed in a way that it flows and it looks like. I mean, you look out there over our shoulders at the south end zone, and, you know, you really can't tell, you know, like it doesn't look like we just added an end zone.
Right.
And I think that that's what's made the whole north end. It just all fit together like it's supposed to. And it, you know, there's a lot of people that were through those 25, 30 years, but we've been able to keep the synergy together, even though there were different people kind of on first base dealing with it, to make it look like we were all in it from day one.
So it's great that when this was built with the ability to do those kind of things because it wasn't condensed into a neighborhood like a lot of stadiums are. So that's a first step. But as you approach it as the director of athletics and you're thinking, okay, what do we want this to be functionally? What do we want it to look like? How does that process work? Is it you and your staff brainstorming? Do you hire a consultant to say, hey, give us four or five ideas that we can look at? How does that work?
You know, it kind of was a combination of the two. I mean, you know, between the vision that we had and the priorities that we had identified as a department, certainly having an architect at the table, but also, you know, back in the early part of all this, Ben Bruns was very involved. You know, and so you had somebody that was had a professional training in it, but also came at it from a football player's perspective. And so I think the combination of all that got us to this spot. But, you know, when I think back to some of the early changes we made, they were not maybe in the order most people make them. You know, ours went fans first. And if you think about it, when we expanded the concourses, right, changed the restrooms, changed, you know, because, I mean, it was Porta Pottyville down there in the south end zone. You know, you mentioned hot tubs. Well, you know, I remember Porta Potties and the old smoking deck outside behind. I mean, you look up that concourse right now and you can see where the blacktop ends.
Yeah.
That was the outer wall. It's like, where did anybody go?
Yeah.
I mean, that thing was so narrow. And so, you know, we did those. Then we did the scoreboards,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then we started into some of the other amenities. So, you know, that's really, I think, helped us build it because we took care of the people that were going to use it and pay for it. And then that brought more people to the table. And it's kind of just all come together in nice synergy.
And obviously you're seeing stadiums all around the country when you travel with the team. And how much do you
scout
the other teams and see what they did right and wrong and what you want to maybe copy or emulate?
Well, you know, I'll always remember this because it was an aha moment. You know, when we were trying to do the south end zone, I joked and said when I started, there were like three different renderings and booklets that had been
done. One in 2001. Sitting in Bruce Vandevelde's office.
Absolutely.
And they were selling recruits and then didn't ever happen.
Well, because that was for the basketball practice facility was going to be underneath. But then, you know, the indoor facility took precedent. But all those versions were erector sets because everyone had their mind that, well, you couldn't connect. And so we were going to do the erector set. And then we went to Texas Tech and we walked into that stadium and it was like, wait a second, didn't they add on over here? And so then we got their staff out and they said, oh, yeah, we did that in this year. And I was like, well, then it can be done. And so when we came back, we brought those pictures back and went to the architect and said, we want this. And they're like, oh, we hadn't thought of it like that, you know. And so now when I think about that, so, yes, you do steal. West Virginia has a very similar stadium.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, the club section, you know, that was something that is unique, the Sukup End Zone Club, because, you know, we knew what we wanted to do in the end zone, but we also knew that it was going to be hard to sell those seats. And so we didn't want to price it as a, you know, high end like most places do. Because part of it is just knowing your fan base and what their price points are willing to take. So our Sukup End Zone Club is really cool when people come to see it now because it's kind of, you know, it's like a Buffalo Wild Wings or, you know, it's kind of got that type of feel.
Yeah.
And that's unique. It's unique to Iowa State where a lot of people, you know, that would be like such a high-end premium, you know, bricks and mortar. And it wouldn't fit who our people are.
Throughout the Iowa Corn Cyhawk Series, Iowa Corn promotes values that are uniquely Iowan. On behalf of Iowa's corn farmers, we salute all fans and athletes for their hard work and determination, both on and off the field. Just like our athletes, our state leads the nation in corn and ethanol production. Follow Iowa Corn on Facebook to learn how corn grows Iowa. We're going to come back with more of the Cyclone Coach's Corner, fueled by Renewable Energy Group, after these messages on the Cyclone Network from Learfield.
Does it really matter where beef comes from? Meet the facts. Fact. Hy-Vee Choice Reserve beef comes from the Midwest. So you get only the highest quality beef raised on family farms here in the heartland. Where do the other guys get their beef? We're not sure either.
Get the facts at meetthefacts.hy-vee.com.
Wherever people work, live, or play, there is a plumber and steam fitter who made it possible. In today's business climate, you need partners you can trust. Partners that care about your company and your customers. Partners like the plumbers and steam fitters, Local Union 33. Local Union 33 finds the right people, trains them exceptionally well, and supplies a qualified workforce, whether you need general or specialized skills. For more information, log on to ualocal33.org.
Providing food, feed, and fuel for the world is a tough job. Making a profit is even tougher. Sukup Manufacturing has a solution. Store now, profit later. Storing your grain in a Sukup bin is the best way to take charge of your grain, maximize your profits, and control your destiny. Sukup offers a full line of bins to fit your specific needs, and with over 80 patents, it's easy to see why Sukup is the world's fastest growing grain bin company. Visit sukup.com to find your local Sukup dealer today and learn how we can help you store now, profit later.
From Iowa farm fields to Jack Trice Stadium, Renewable Energy Group has a play. Iowa farmers produce nearly 3 billion bushels of corn and soybeans annually. Renewable Energy Group uses the oils extracted from corn and soybeans to produce renewable fuels that is used by the turf management team at Jack Trice Stadium and farmers across Iowa. Renewable Energy Group. It doesn't matter the field. We have a play in creating a cleaner, more sustainable environment.
Every day you use energy to power your life, to wake up, to stay connected.
Hi, this is John. Oh, hey.
To feed your loved ones.
Dinner!
You don't even have to think about it, because at MidAmerican Energy, we do. We work hard to bring you energy you can count on every day, because the most important thing we put our energy into is you. We're MidAmerican Energy, and we're obsessively, relentlessly at your service.
What's impressive about Pioneer's corn seed development? I'm here in York County, Nebraska. Off in the distance, about a quarter mile away, something is lit up. That's Boreas, one of Pioneer's mobile wind machines. Pioneer uses this machine to test its corn hybrids for standability. These tests are one of the reasons Pioneer has seen improved stalk strength and root scores year after year. Boreas, another thing that makes Pioneer, Pioneer. Contact your local Pioneer sales representative.
Welcome back to the Cyclone Coach's Corner. Iowa State University is living Cardinal gold and green through their partnership with Renewable Energy Group and bringing clean fuel solutions to campus. We're visiting with Jamie Pollard. Our thanks to Matt Campbell, who joined us earlier in the program. Jack Whitford, our guest co-host tonight. And we were talking a little bit about the facilities and things, Jamie. And obviously on Friday night, you dedicated the Stark Performance Center that we're in right now. And it was a touching ceremony because you had a nice anecdote about each of the people that gave significant amounts of money to make this happen, and there were a lot of them, which is neat to begin with. But I think the one that touched me the most was the Olson family, you know, because what Jack said earlier, you had to take down the Olson building.
Right.
And the story you told with that, I thought was just really neat.
Well, you know, it's not one of those things you really want to have to go do, is go tell, you know, the great-grandson and granddaughter of the person that donated time and money
right.
for that building that you're going to tear it down, you know, and I guess nothing lasts forever. Right. But it wasn't something I was looking forward to do.
Sure.
And how they handled it was just so awesome. So, you know, we met them out at the farmhouse in Ellsworth that Ralph lived in, that they still own, and they had a lot of his artifacts. And so it was like a little bit of a museum, picture an older farmhouse. But, you know, one of the things we talked to them about is, you know, when the Olson Building and Jack Trice Stadium were built, Clyde Williams Field went away, right? And so what they actually did at that time in Ralph Olson's building was replacing, you know, another facility. So it was interesting to just be able to cite that and say full circle. But what we said is, unlike Clyde Williams Field, because when they took Clyde Williams Field down, they didn't do anything to memorialize it. And we said, we're going to make sure that we still memorialize something for Ralph Olson. And so we did that with the lower level of the sports center. and still have the bronze plaque from that was hung from 1976 to 2020. So I think they really appreciated that gesture as well. And but they handled it so awesome, and so that made it so much easier. And then they were here to be part of the grand opening of the new building.
Yeah, it was a great. I was able to go to the ceremony. It was a great ceremony. It was touching, and then it was just it was amazing to see all the people that donated time and money to come to build this building, have a chance to tour it, and just see what you all see every day, and none of us right. get to see, and that's a really special thing. But what's your favorite part of this building? What's the thing we needed the most, and now we have it?
Well, the thing we needed the most is the area we're in right. Well, we're just off of the area is the dining facility. That's something we've never had. We, you know, catered in food for football just because of the sheer numbers, but all the other teams just were on their own to go on campus. And so you weren't able to monitor what they're doing. You weren't able to, what's the right word I want to say, strategize about what they should be eating and when they should be eating. And so this is a huge, huge asset. And so for me, this is my favorite part or the most important part, but likewise, the football locker room lounge area is pretty spectacular. So yeah,
there's a lot of things. Yeah. And I think one of the things that you said that was really neat when you were recognizing all these great Cyclones is that so many of them came to you. You didn't even have to go to them. The relationship is so solid and so strong that they come to you and say, what can I do?
Well, you know, one of the things that just hit me as we were preparing for what we were going to say Friday night was, 17 years, right? Many of these people, this is like their third, fourth, fifth go around
right.
of donating.
Right.
They don't really feel like donors to me. They feel like friends.
Yeah.
And so it's for almost all of them, there was some kind of personal anecdote just because you've been around them for so long. And many of them, you know, beat you to the punch when they know we're going to do something. You know, they probably expect that we're going to call on them. And, you know, they've gotten smart and they say, well, if they call first, maybe they can get a smaller number. I don't know. But it, you know, it's pretty neat.
It is.
I know you never stop thinking about the facilities and what's next. And I'm sure there's something else out there. Maybe it's a pedestrian bridge still going on. How much is like the changing landscape of college football making you pause? Or is it making you get on the accelerator? I mean, it's changed so fast since July.
Right. Well, a little of both. A little of both, Jack. So two things. You know, the bridge, we already had it funded. So we wanted to continue to move forward just because of those two donors. The RV parking lot that goes with it and the parking lots north of Sheeman and west of C.Y. Stevens, we're going to use reserve monies to do it, and we wanted to do that. One, we knew we weren't going to be able to go to the Regents or the bond council and be able to support bonding because of the uncertainty at that time of what was coming. But we also wanted to keep moving, right? Because if you sit still, you're going to just fall further behind. And so we had those resources, so we said, let's forge ahead with those two. The two projects that are kind of hanging out there that only time will really tell is one, the Hilton project, because that's going to require some bonding. We're not going to just have $25, $30 million available. And we're going to have to be able to document what does television look like going forward. So that part is a little bit of a pause. And then the entertainment district, or what we're so fondly now calling Cytown, that really needs the economy to, you know, that type of space. We've got to get an other inertia around it. And so we're working hard with different sectors that would be in there, whether it's retail, whether it's office, whether it's housing, to get some preliminary commitments so that we would be able to say, here's what the financial model could look like if we went to a developer. And so those are the two things that, you know, to me are the big ones. There's other things we're going to do. You know, we're redoing Johnny Majors here shortly, and, there'll be things along the way. But those are the two next big ones on the docket.
What are you going to do with Johnny Majors?
So it's going to be expanded so that there's fields that actually run east-west. And part of that is because the we only go over to the Field of Dreams really in preseason camp.
Right.
And that space now is going to become the RV park.
Right.
So.
And you have to bus over there.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the more we can stay over here, the better. The reason you go over to the Field of Dreams in August is to really kind of save the grass. So we're going to expand that area to give us more grass area so that we can be over on it more. The new fields with the rec department we can also use for summer camps, and if we need to go over there in August for preseason camp, we can, but we're really trying to just stay over here if we can. And then we're going to redo the field in the stadium.
Okay.
Because that's been, I think it's been now 11 years or 12 years. Yeah. So.
And that has to happen every so often.
Yeah, about every decade you got to redo it.
Yeah. So, okay.
So there's projects like that.
Well, it sounds great. All season long, Pivot Bio is sponsoring First Down for Farmers, donating $25 to the Iowa State College of Agriculture for each Cyclone First Down. The Cyclones currently have 38 First Downs. That's a total donation of $950. Turn to a better nitrogen. Turn to Pivot Bio. We're visiting with Jamie Pollard, and we're going to come back with more of the Cyclone Coach's Corner, fueled by Renewable Energy Group, after these messages on the Cyclone Radio Network from Learfield.
Your premier Chevy dealers, proud sponsors of Iowa State Cyclone football, and proud to be a part of Team Chevy, the number one selling brand in Iowa for the past 10 years. Thanks to a talented lineup that includes versatile SUVs like Equinox and dependable trucks like Silverado. Visit moreiowansdrivechevy.com today to find exciting offers and a dealer near you. Based on IHS Markit CYE 2010 to 2020, new vehicle retail registrations in the state of Iowa.
Two teams, one goal. Renewable Energy Group and Iowa State University have partnered to bring sustainable solutions to improving air quality and reducing carbon emissions on the campus of Iowa State University through the use of clean fuel produced at Renewable Energy Group's biorefineries in Newton and Mason City, Iowa. Students can breathe easier knowing that two teams are working together in creating a cleaner, more sustainable campus.
The Coalition to Support Iowa's Farmers, working beside you.
Hi, this is Coach Matt Campbell. I know that it takes a solid team to create success on the field, and the same is true for your livestock farm. The Coalition to Support Iowa's Farmers can work beside you to develop a winning strategy. So add Coalition to your lineup by calling 1-800-932-2436 or visit supportfarmers.com and get your team started today.
The Coalition to Support Iowa's Farmers, your farm, your family. Our focus.
At Golden Harvest, our best skill is knowing how to listen. From our Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to our expert insights housed in the Illuminate digital agronomy platform, everything we offer is an answer to what we've heard from you. This is how we listen.
Copyright 2021 Syngenta. The trademarks or service marks used herein are the property of a Syngenta Group company. All other trademarks are the property of their respective owners.
You trained for this all year. Endless hours of cardio, conditioning, and weights. And now you are ready. Ready to trek back to your seat from the concession stand. Through the lines, lost fans, and that mascot who wants you to do a little dancey dance, all without spilling a drop of your ice-cold Bud Light. Welcome back to football, sports fans.
Tournament Club of Iowa, designed by golf legend Arnold Palmer. TCI is his only signature course in the state. TCI is a public course that offers a challenging yet enticing experience for golfers of all levels and is now managed by Kaler Golf. Cap off your round with breathtaking views and a delicious meal at the Copper Oak Restaurant. Looking for a unique setting for your wedding, party, or outing? Look no further than TCI. Visit tcofiowa.com to book your tee time today.
Welcome back to the Cyclone Coach's Corner, fueled by Renewable Energy Group. Renewable Energy Group and Iowa State University playing for a cleaner, more sustainable community together. We've got the REG logo on the big video board behind us. We've got them on the ribbon board. We've got the fields being watered as we speak. The lights are on in the stadium. It's a great sight up here, Jamie. This is just it's a neat spot. And you talked about it at the dedication. Just when people walked up here and saw this for the first time, they're going to sit there and stare for a good minute or two.
Well, especially, you know, the couple that gave the money to name this room. The Andersons. And said, you know, you got the best view in Ames.
Absolutely. No question about it.
And they thought so, too.
That's good. Well, we were just talking about the trip out to Las Vegas. The Raiders are playing on TV right now. This is where the stadium, this is where the Cyclones are going to be playing on Saturday. And we talked about this with Matt, but this is the third straight game for the Cyclone players away from this stadium in an NFL stadium because
oh really yeah, they had thought of that.
Jerry World
yep.
and then the Fiesta Bowl in Glendale and now off to Las Vegas to play in the Raiders stadium. What a great experience for these guys. I mean, you talk about the student athlete experience and all it involves, and you know, for those kids to get to play in three NFL stadiums is pretty cool.
That is pretty neat. I you know, now that you say it, I hadn't thought about it that way. So yeah, that is, because I remember when we did the deals with Arrowhead, and you know, the coaches at the time were all very positive for that reason of getting a chance to play in an NFL stadium. So yeah, and then this one being, you know, brand new stadium. Yeah. So
I was gonna say sharp. It's positive for the student athletes, but I think it's also good for recruiting. I mean, when you're on the you're on the road, you tell them the story, right?
Yep.
The story of Iowa State, and you talk about. I remember, you know, I played in a game at Arrowhead, and that's something we talked about for a long time. That creates memories, but also helps in that recruiting.
Right. That and every every little bit helps.
Absolutely.
And there are a ton of Iowa State fans going out. I have talked to a lot of people that are, you know, if you ask somebody if they're going, I'll bet my rate of return of 90% is yes. Yes, I am, and here's going with me. Now, maybe I'm asking the right people, but, boy, there's sure a lot of people going.
Well, as Jack just said to me on the break, it's our bowl game, right? Because it's the bowl game that the fans did not get. The team got a bowl game last year with the Fiesta Bowl, but fans did not get that. So this year they're going to get two.
Yeah, that's good.
So we have maybe 20 minutes or so left, and we could talk for 3 hours about all the changes going on in college football and college athletics in general. It started with name, image, likeness. It's conference realignment. It's transfer portals. I mean, there's so many things that are different than they were 5 years ago. I guess any of those you want to talk about or can talk about, anything on your mind, but it just seems to me the world, especially college football, is changing so fast. I'm not sure if it's for the better or not. I think time will tell.
Well, yeah, you know, I got my hair cut on Friday, and people were like, oh, for the ceremony? I said, no, to get rid of the little bit of gray that's starting to show, because it's, like, multiplying really quick. You know, yes, if you were to fill out a stress test for college administrators right now, we'd be checking boxes we didn't even know existed, you know, and you just hit on a bunch of them. But, you know, last Friday, one of them started to, at least for the world of the Big 12, started to come back into clarity a little bit and probably came back sooner than most people thought with the addition of Cincinnati, Central Florida, Houston, and BYU to the Big 12. And I couldn't be more delighted about that. One, just, you know, it gets us off the front page of, you know, doom and gloom, right? And two, I've described it as, it's like putting a big puzzle together, and you know, we've still got a lot of work to put the puzzle together, but now we know what the pieces are.
Mm-hmm.
And before, we didn't know what the pieces were. We didn't even know if we had all the pieces. So I'm excited, and it's really been fun. I you know, communicated with the four ADs at the new schools on Saturday morning, and you know, their campuses, their communities, their fan bases are just jacked up about this. And
absolutely,
that's exciting, right? You know, and a couple of them are huge institutions. Central Florida, 70,000 students. Cincinnati, 47,000 students. You know, BYU, I don't know what the size of their campus is, but I mean, they've got a footprint around the United States. And one of the things we hadn't thought about really much is, you know, in Kansas City, you know, there's a lot of BYU grads that live in the Midwest that just by, you know, how they do things, they will be like the fourth anchor in Kansas City for the basketball tournament, which will really, really help that tournament. As not that that tournament needed much help, but that will, you know, make it more robust also.
When you think about the future, I have no idea what the money holds. You may have some idea, maybe you don't, but separate from that, like, you just look at the teams that are coming in, it's going to be a really fun football league. You know, all four of those teams have been ranked in the top 10 in the last 5-6 years. And
yep.
I was talking to John, I think 11 out of the 12 new Big 12 teams will have been ranked in the top 10 at some point in the last 8 years.
Right.
Only Kansas hasn't. So, I mean, just from an entertainment standpoint, it's going to be phenomenal football.
Well, you know, and the other thing, you know, and I mean, you can't say anything's going to be one way forever, but I mean, let's just call it like it is. I mean, the fact of the matter is Texas and Oklahoma had deeper and more talent that, you know, than anybody. And that probably wasn't going to change in our lifetimes. So, you know, they're leaving. Those schools coming in, you just mentioned it, they're all playing at a high level. But there's nobody that's got, like, this huge built-in advantage
right.
that maybe Texas and OU had over the rest of us. And so, you know, the door is – it's the possibility is wide open to be kind of king of the mountain. If you – you know,
yeah.
I said this many a time in the last month and a half, is if you had to make this walk – I'd make it every time with the group we got. And yes, at the point in time we have it, because there's some other programs in our league that maybe are not where they've historically been, and it's a little tougher walk to make. So I'm fired up. And then basketball, my gosh, basketball is going to be, I mean, we just made it a lot harder.
Yeah. Well, Cincinnati, tremendous tradition. Houston was in the Final Four.
Yes.
Iowa State, if you may recall, when Melvin Edgem was playing. And,
Well, okay. Trust me. Bad day. I had to deal with their AD on that one.
But we played out there and won. Yep. A great win against a really good BYU team. There were 22,000 fans in that game, all wearing white. And, I mean,
they get after it now.
That's a big-time basketball environment.
Yeah. I mean, the only coaches that voted against BYU coming in was the cross-country coaches at Oklahoma State and Iowa State. They're really good in cross-country, like national champions.
Yes.
So, the work just got harder to be Big 12 cross-country champions, but that's okay.
Now, let's talk a little bit about these schools, because I think BYU has gymnastics, correct, I believe?
Not in the women's. Well, maybe they do. I can't say. I've drilled down. I mean, to be very candid, we're on this. The decision was made around one sport and one sport only.
I get it.
And it was a football decision.
Well, all right, let me word it
differently. Then we started peeling the onion back, trying to figure out what else is in there. That's why I said the pieces of the puzzle still have to get put together, but it was a football decision.
Well, let's take each school then and just talk a little bit about some of the things they bring to the table. You touched on it a little bit already, but the enrollment in Central Florida or Houston's television market, or what are some of the things that these four institutions will bring to the Big 12 Conference?
Well, you know, Cincinnati does a couple things. One, it gives us a partner with West Virginia. Cincinnati is in the state of Ohio, which is one of the most fertile football student-athlete recruiting areas. For us, selfishly, because our staff is primarily from that space, that's going to be another advantage in recruiting, because now you're going to be able to say you'll be able to see your son play, you know, without having to travel. Central Florida brings us the state of Florida, a hot recruiting market. You know, 70,000 students. Central Florida is one of the fastest growing institutions in the country. Quite frankly, you know, we looked at them and said, you know, you can't leave them on the table. You know, if we made a mistake historically, as we probably should have taken Louisville, when we took West Virginia, we made it an or instead of an and.
Okay.
You know, we probably should have taken both, but we didn't. We took one because we were, the paradigm for whatever reason was focused on, you know, we didn't want to have an odd number of 11. We wanted to be a 10. And I think maybe that would have even changed where we sit today had we done that. But we looked at that and said, you know, if we're making this decision for the next, you know, several decades, you cannot leave Florida and Orlando. You got to take them. Likewise with Houston, I think that, you know, we looked at that and said that's such a big market for us, and if we don't take them, somebody else is going to take them, and we're going to regret that somebody took them and came into our footprint. And then, quite frankly, if this was coaching, BYU was the best available athlete on the board from hands down, top to bottom. Their athletics program is really robust. And so all four of them bring something to the table. Our footprint now goes from 40.6 to 79.2 million homes. So we nearly doubled our footprint, which hopefully will help us in the, when we get to the television market. We've added another time zone. And so I think all of that just gives us good synergy, and it'll be fun to put it all together.
So when you talk about football, obviously you're only traveling 5-6 times a year. It's not that big of a deal to go down to Florida. What's it like for the rest of the student athletes? It's going to be really hard to get to some of these places, or is that just, it's just part of the deal all over the country? I mean, we're not the only conference that's spread wide now.
Absolutely. But. You know, and most people don't realize this, but West Virginia is closer to us than Texas Tech. You know, you don't think that, but it is. And so, and some of those sports, you know, they really only compete when it comes time for the conference tournament. You know, now, obviously, some of the sports, the team sports that have to, you know, the volleyballs and the, soccers and softballs. But, the way we travel, I mean, it's not going to be an issue. Our teams don't bus, I mean, today to most games, unless they're going to maybe Kansas. Other than that, they're flying. So it's not going to be that big of an adjustment. And they're major markets, Orlando, Houston, you know, they're easy places to get to.
To follow up on that, like when you're talking about future revenues and future, you know, building the TV contracts, is the media market important or the streaming important? I mean, it was always media market, right? That's why Rutgers
was
the Big Ten. But is it now going to streaming, and how do we sit in that?
I think we're going through a time period where it's you know, there's like this crisscross going, right? And so, you know, linear is shrinking, but it's not shriveling to nothing. It's still pretty robust. There's still 75 million homes that have linear. So having big markets help, right? At the same time, digital is the future, and digital will be driven more by activity, who can activate. So you take an institution that's got 70,000 students, and Cincinnati with 47,000 students, and BYU with their following, you know, those will be heavy activations. I mean, think of this. BYU has their own network.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, second to the Longhorn Network, it's the BYU network that ESPN is paying $10 million a year
wow.
just for six BYU home football games.
Wow.
Nobody else of the eight of us could even come close to that. So BYU brings a ton to the table from a market share.
The Cyclones are sacking hunger with each quarterback sack. Farm Credit Services of America is donating money, and the Iowa Pork Producers Association are donating pork to help sack hunger in Iowa, where one in seven children lives with food insecurity. Donations go to the Iowa Food Bank Association. We're going to come back with more of the Cyclone Coaches Corner, fueled by Renewable Energy Group, after these messages on the Cyclone Network from Learfield.
Did you know that as a Mid-American Energy customer, nearly half of your life is powered by the wind energy we provide? That means when you're at home fixing a snack, or at work sending emails, you're using wind energy. Investing in wind helps us keep your rates low. Renewable wind energy. It's clean, affordable, and powerful. And it's one more way Mid-American Energy is obsessively, relentlessly at your service.
While some seed companies put a greater stake in stock prices and anonymous shareholders, Rob Seco knows that what's important to you hits closer to home. That's why you'll find we're focused on your needs. With a simplicity that makes us easy to do business with, a relationship that makes it easy to connect with anyone in the company, and the technology, traits, and genetics you need from any source. Put your stock in the company that puts you first. Rob Seco.
Wherever people work, live, or play, there is a plumber and steam fitter who made it possible. In today's business climate, you need partners you can trust. Partners that care about your company and your customers. Partners like the plumbers and steam fitters, Local Union 33. Local Union 33 finds the right people, trains them exceptionally well, and supplies a qualified workforce, whether you need general or specialized skills. For more information, log on to UALocal33.org.
Becoming America's best-selling brand means you never settle. Like the Ford F-150, completely rebuilt from the ground up to be smarter and tougher than ever. Or the Ford Bronco Sport, with a legacy that can't be broken. The entire Bronco family is designed, engineered, and built for adventure. Plus, Ford's complete lineup of SUVs gives you the power, style, and space you need for life on the go. Go to buyfordnow.com or contact your local Northland Ford dealer for exclusive offers on the perfect Ford for you. Sales come based on calendar year sales.
You trained for this all year. Endless hours of cardio, conditioning, and weights. And now you are ready. Ready to trek back to your seat from the concession stand. Through the lines, lost fans, and that mascot who wants you to do a little dancey dance. All without spilling a drop of your ice cold Bud Light. Welcome back to football, sports fans.
Anything can happen when the Cyclones and Hawkeyes come to compete. It's where the rubber meets the road. Neighbors become rivals and friends become foes. Some go home brokenhearted, while others are victorious. When the dust finally settles, one thing stands true. No matter which side you're on, you're part of tradition for those who are Iowan through and through. We're Iowa Corn, a proud sponsor of the Iowa Corn Cyhawk Series. In Iowa, we grow corn, but the truth is, corn grows Iowa.
Welcome back to the Cyclone Coaches Corner. Renewable Energy Group and Iowa State University are delivering on their sustainable goal by taking used cooking oil from the university and producing renewable fuel that powers vehicles and equipment on campus. And that is a fascinating, cool thing that they do, and one of many cool things that REG does. And Jamie, they're great new partners on our show.
Well, they've been a great partner for a long time, but now moving into being a partner on the show, and good to see some of their staff here tonight. So shout out to our friends at REG.
Yeah, it's fun to have them aboard.
So a lot of football talk so far.
Yeah.
Obviously a few other sports going on. volleyball, soccer. Talk about some of those teams.
Well, volleyball is 6-2. Soccer is 2-4. Had a tough loss last week in overtime to number 15th Memphis. Volleyball's got you and I this Wednesday night in a good, you know, interstate match because you and I is always really tough.
That's up there. It'll be sold out.
Yep. Yeah. And then I think they're on the road this weekend. You know, Christy never shies away from playing tough teams. So I think she's doing the Big Ten circuit this weekend up in Minneapolis. And then soccer's got Creighton this weekend. Cross country won't really, I mean, they had the women ran a week ago, but their first big meet is a week and a half from now. They go to Minnesota. Who am I missing? Golf started.
Michigan,
playing
Wolverine
today.
Invitational.
Yep. So, and then somebody else is starting next week, and I just can't think who it was. So there's just, it's that time of the year.
Yes, it's
softball
coming.
Played some, you know, out of season games this past weekend out at the ballpark. So,
yeah, it comes fast and furious once you get rolling. So, Golden Harvest is the seed partner that's here to listen and provide answers from our exclusive corn and soybean products to service and agronomic support where and when you need it. And we got to sneak in one more break, but we'll come back and wrap things up on the Cyclone Coaches Corner, fueled by Renewable Energy Group, after these messages on the Cyclone Network from Learfield.
What's impressive about Pioneer's product development? Well, I'm standing here in front of something called the Genotyping Lab. This is where Pioneer breeders peer into the DNA of corn and soybean germplasm. This process expanded exponentially in the last few years, resulting in faster, more accurate data, which means Pioneer is able to bring new and more advanced products to farmers. The Genotyping Lab, another place that makes Pioneer, Pioneer. Contact your local Pioneer sales representative.
Does it really matter where beef comes from? Meet the facts. Fact. Hy-Vee Choice Reserve beef comes from the Midwest, so you get only the highest quality beef raised on family farms here in the heartland. Where do the other guys get their beef? We're not sure either. Get the facts at meetthefacts.hy-vee.com.
Welcome back to the Cyclone Coaches Corner, fueled by Renewable Energy Group. We were just talking a little bit about volleyball off the air, and Jack was saying his family really enjoys it. And Jamie, it's a great sport to go see in person. I think when you guys a couple of years ago made the court look volleyball centric, it's such a cool thing to look at when we televise a Cyclone volleyball match.
Well, we're good, too, so that makes
that
it
helps.
Even more fun.
That
yes.
helps, yes.
But, no, it is, as we were just saying, you know, that when they went to rally scoring, gosh, probably now 15 years ago, but it seems like yesterday, it made the matches so much more exciting, and it just, you know, and they fall kind of in a time period now, where before when it was, you know, side out, nobody could score. Really changed how it feels, and then we get great crowds.
And you do a great job just with the game day atmosphere there, the music and you know, the band and, you know, throwaways in the crowd. Like, we bring our young kids, and they love going to those. I mean, especially the girls.
And that's a coordinated.
Football's hard to sit through 4 hours for the girls, but volleyball, they love going to those games.
And that is a really coordinated effort. There's a lot of thought that goes into the game day experience for all your sports that you put on.
Well, you know, one of the neat things that volleyball's always done, which I thought was great when Christy implemented, is, you know, some of the players deliver the season tickets to our fans. So that's unique, you know. Yeah. And I know we talked about it today just post-COVID, is are we doing autograph sessions again? And we said, yes, we are. So, you know, the volleyball players will be signing autographs at their home matches on their posters. And so it's just a way to, as you said, you bring your daughters out and it makes them feel like they're part of it.
Cool. Well, thanks for taking the time tonight, Jamie, as always. This was a fun conversation, and we'll see you again here in a few weeks.
Well, Jack, thank you for taking the time to come in and do this.
It's always fun.
Yeah, thank you, Jack. Appreciate it. All right, and thanks to our audience at home for listening and contributing, and we hope you can join us again next week for the Cyclone Coaches Corner, fueled by Renewable Energy Group.
You
You've been listening to the Renewable Energy Group Cyclone Coaches Corner, powered by Renewable Energy Group. Also brought to you by Bud Light Seltzer. It's unquestionably good. Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. And by Rob Seco, an independent seed company, bringing you the product choices you deserve from the people you can trust. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Cyclone Sports Network.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.